Okay. All right, now last week, I got everybody hungry thinking about some things. So, in that tradition, this is a sermon series of that I've entitled Food for Thought. So, I want to ask you a question. If you're eating Oreo cookies, now, I really enjoy Oreo cookies. I love, this is where my wife and I differ. My wife likes the regular, I like the double stuff. Double stuff. If they came out with triple, I'd probably love it even better. They do, they make a triple. Oh, Jerry knows. They make a triple stuff, all right.
It's called mega stuff.
Mega stuff. Mega stuff Oreos, okay. But hey, if you're eating an Oreo cookie, what drink do you want with an Oreo cookie?
Diet Pepsi.
Diet Pepsi. What's the use? You're already eating Oreos. Okay, but milk, milk, that's like the classic drink with Oreos, right? Milk. Now, I want to ask this question too. You go to someone's farm, and you are getting truly a farm fresh meal. And it has potatoes that they raised on their farm. Your meal has corn that they raised on their farm. It has green beans, fresh green beans they raised on their farm. Fresh broccoli that they raised on their farm. Fresh fried chicken from chicken they raised on their farm. And homemade biscuits. What are you going to think that you would have farm fresh to drink at a meal like that?
Milk.
Farm fresh. I can make some really great fresh iced tea at my house, but it's not farm fresh drink. That is not a farm fresh drink. I'm saying I want a farm fresh meal. I'm not saying I don't want my iced tea. I love iced tea, but you have something like that, and then you get this big glass of whole, freshly squeezed milk. Wow. So there were two cows out grazing in a pasture. When they saw the milk truck pass, on the side of the milk truck were the words pasteurized, homogenized, thank you, homogenized, standardized, vitamin A added. One cow sighed and said to the other, makes you feel sort of inadequate, doesn't it? But you know what? People try to improve on the milk, the spiritual milk of God's Word. Oh, milk does the body good. It does. Spiritual milk does the body good, but people do try to improve on God's Word. They try to pasteurize it and standardize it and homogenize it or whatever and all these other things, but it doesn't need any of that. God's Word is like that farm fresh meal, and you get fresh milk without all the other stuff. Last week, the question for us was, hungry yet? Are you hungry yet? Are you ready to dive in and feed on God's Word? The challenge was, and I hope you took it, was to read Psalm 143, understand it, study it, know what David's praying, know how he's praying, and then learn to pray like that. He being a man after God's own heart, that was God's description of him, probably as a good person to follow. Our spiritual need is to be hungry. Hungry for God's Word and the things and ways of God. if we gain our fire insurance, so to speak, we get saved, we'll call it. We might truly be a true believer, a Christian. And then we stagnate. We stagnate in our growth. We stop being part of the body of Christ. Stop caring about our growth. Stop learning and reading and studying on our own and with others. We become stagnant. And like stagnant water, there's scripture that tells us when we become stagnant Christians, we become putrid to the nostrils of Almighty God. I don't think we really want that, do we? For many, the process is described then as moving from milk, spiritual milk, to spiritual meat. But I hope today we'll see from Scripture a different way to describe spiritual growth. The process is different, really, than just moving from milk to meat. Because just like that farm fresh meal I told you about, it's going to be capitalized by the milk. And you really have that farm fresh meal. The milk itself can be very nourishing. But milk is not just a liquid diet. Will you pray with me? Holy God, I hope today, as we stand before you in our spirits and in our hearts as a congregation, first of all, I pray that what has already occurred has been honoring and glorifying to you. I pray that now that we can just have a nice thought and discussion and maybe be honest with our own selves today about our spiritual maturity. Maybe gain a little more understanding of what you expect. May we gain even more hunger for you, Almighty God, because of your word today. In Jesus' name, amen. I'd like to ask you to turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. While you're turning, the church at Ephesus was a group of believers who, upon their salvation, acted upon their faith. But they didn't necessarily mature spiritually beyond the point of being full of knowledge. How do I know this? I know this because of the rebuke they received from the Lamb of God in Revelation that said, "You're doing all these wonderful things. They've become habit and ritual for you. But I have something great against you. You've lost your first love. Oh, you definitely, because of your knowledge, you have shunned and hated certain false teachers. But you have basically saying you're not growing spiritually." Well, what is that? Why is that? So we look at what Paul says to the Ephesians in chapter 4. This is at their early stages. This is when they're, we might say, on fire for God. And Paul says this. Ephesians chapter 4, starting at verse 11. "And he," that is Jesus, "personally gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the training of the saints in the work of ministry, to build up the body of Christ, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of God's Son, growing into a mature man with a stature measured by Christ's fullness. Then we'll no longer be little children, tossed by the waves and blown around by every wind of teaching, by human cunning and cleverness and the techniques of deceit. Everybody loves a baby. Everybody loves a baby. But I've not met anybody who has any kind of understanding who wants to be one. If I were to come to one of my kids right now and say, You're such a baby. Nicholas, you're such a baby. He'd blow up at me. What? I'm not a baby. But the same would be if I said to Arnold, over here, Arnold, you're such a baby. You'd take offense, wouldn't you, brother?
Yeah.
He's gotten nice in his old days, hasn't he? Jerry, I'm going to tell you what. If you'd called your dad a little baby, what would have happened? Come on. Yeah, he'd have torn you up, I know. You see, the same is with spiritual growth. Man, someone comes to know Jesus as their Savior, and they're a baby in Christ. Don't you love it? Don't you love it? When you see their hunger, when you see them wanting to be obedient in Christ, man, we love that. But some of us have known Jesus and claimed him as Savior for a long time, and there might be areas in our life where we're still little babies. We don't want to be babies, do we? You see, Paul is saying here that the pastors and prophets, evangelists, teachers, that's our Sunday school teachers, our Bible study teachers, our preachers, they're here to help us grow in our faith and knowledge of God's Son so that we can be mature. Helps us know how to personally study. Helps us know how to study with our brothers and sisters in Christ on our own. It bothers me, I'll be honest. It bothers me when I hear people say, I know this person, they don't go to church anywhere. You know, their pastor is some TV preacher. Might be a good, solid Bible preacher. You know, Charles Stanley, they may be, or whatever. But they don't go to church anywhere. But they're such good Christians. I'm sorry, that doesn't match. They're babies. I'm not saying that every person that goes to church is mature. That's not true either. Honestly, I'm not saying that every guy, including myself, is preaching the word is mature in every way. Mm-mm. So please hear me. I'm not preaching at anybody. I'm preaching with you. Because I'm preaching that myself. I love what Paul says here because I can't measure my maturity to a brand new Christian. I have to measure my maturity Christ's fullness. I'm telling you this right now, the most mature Christian in the world is pretty immature to Jesus Christ. So we don't need to think highly of ourselves. And I might say it again, but I'll say it now. Let's not be listening today for someone else. Oh man, I know somebody needs to be hearing this. No. Because I'm telling you, I'm not saying these words saying you need to hear it. I'm saying Kurt needs to hear it. And I just get to talk about what I need to hear today. So I promise you, and in my prayer time before this, I was not saying to my, in preparing this, oh man, so man, this group of people needs to hear this. I was saying, Kurt, you need to hear this. And I prayed, God, let me hear what I'm going to be preaching today. Let me hear it. And Paul says, we are to grow and not be little children so that we're not tossed by human cunning and cleverness with techniques of deceit. And I want you to understand, brothers and sisters, he's talking about within the church, within the body of Christ, the greater body of Christ. There's a lot of human cunning and deceit. There's a lot of people who are kowtowing to culture and generational thought patterns and trying to say, well, the Bible didn't really mean it. Well, yes, it did. God's word means it. And we don't need to kowtow our beliefs because culture says it's this way or that way, and we'll get more into that. 1 Peter then, chapter 2, verses 2 through 3. I read this a few weeks ago, or last week, not a few weeks ago. Like newborn infants, desire the pure spiritual milk, so that you may grow by it for your salvation, since you have tasted that the Lord is good. We need to taste the Lord and know that He is good. Now, we're not talking about true, real milk, like in the physical realm, but we're talking about spiritual milk. How are we going to taste that spiritual milk? Just anyway, throw out some things. How do we taste that the Lord is good? How can we do that? Anybody?
Study His Word.
So I want to ask you, Ethel, because I know that you study God's Word. Are there times that you don't really feel like studying God's Word, but you do it anyway? Tell me about one of those times. Now, it doesn't have to be specific, but tell me about one of those times that you didn't really want to study God's Word, but you said, no, Ethel, you study that Word. I know because I do that. Kurt, get in here and study that Word. Tell me about one of those times.
Well, it would be in that you feel that way, you get some tired, or you don't have more that way, it's your excuse.
Mm-hmm.
But then when you study anyway, God touches you with it. Every time we always did, it was a special thing.
Do you find sometimes it's even more so than the times that you're like, oh, I'm ready to get in God's Word?
Yeah, because I think He pulls you back.
And is it good? And afterwards, you know, I know in my experience, I know the same would be for you. We've talked about it in the past, I believe. But to even say, when I'm studying God's Word and when I know it, and afterwards, it tastes good to my soul. It tastes good to my soul. And so we look at what Peter says, and I'm just saying he's not joking around. He's not joking around. It's the absolute truth. And then, you see, the milk isn't just for babies. Milk isn't just for babies. It is for babies. Infants need it to grow. We need it to grow. But just because we may say, well, I've reached a particular age, doesn't mean we don't still need milk. In America, there is a particular, I guess, disease you'd call it, that haunts many of our inhabitants as they get older. It's called osteoporosis. Right? What is that? What's the main cause of that?
Lack of calcium.
Calcium deficiency. That's why they had commercials. I don't know if they still do or not, but when they, the one of milk it does the body good. Right? Because Americans were needing more calcium. That's why they're fortifying orange juice with calcium. That's why you now see on you go through your fruit drink aisle, and you're going to see all kinds of different fruit drinks. They don't normally have calcium in it, but they're fortified with calcium. That's one of the major components of milk. And what does calcium build? Strong bones. Why do you need strong bones? Why do we need them? I can tell you right now, if I didn't have strong bones, I wouldn't be able to stand right here, would I? If Wayne didn't have strong bones when I bumped into him over here just this morning accidentally, he'd have just fallen all over the place. We need strong bones. So at any age, you don't throw out the milk, the spiritual milk. You still need it to grow and to grow into godliness. If we get to a point, though, where we're not listening and heeding to God's Word, then we'll be immature. If we just hear it, but we don't listen, we'll be an immature believer and we'll still look a lot like the world. The Apostle Paul addresses this in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. He says, "Brothers, I was not able to speak to you as spiritual people, but as people of the flesh, as babies in Christ. I gave you milk to drink, not solid food, because you were not ready for it. In fact, you are still not ready, because you are still fleshly. For since there is envy and strife among you, are you not fleshly and living like unbelievers?" We're starting to see here that spiritual maturity is not just about what we know. You can know a lot and be very immature. You can know all kinds of information, biblical information, biblical historical information, whatever, and be a very immature Christian. You might bring in lots and lots of milk. You might have strong bones. But bones are no good if you don't have strong ligaments and tendons and muscle. And you gain that from protein. Protein. Paul's not dumb. He knows what he's talking about. You need the milk. Just like Peter said, you got to have the milk. You got to keep having the milk to have the strong bones. If you don't have strong bones, and if you have weak bones and you build lots of muscle, your muscle will just break your bones every time you go to contract your muscle. I remember, and it's kind of a sad thing, but I'll never forget that when I first heard that Brother Bob Melvin, the former pastor at Spotswood Baptist Church, and he was homesick, and he bent over to pick something up, and he went to pick something up, and he broke his arm. But what he found out is he had bone cancer. Degenerated his bones so that his muscles were strong enough, but his muscles were too strong for his bones. His bones couldn't handle it. Well, that's what happens if we don't have the strong bones and we try to put on muscle. Or if we have the strong bones and we don't have muscle, then we can't move the strength of our bones. We need both. And Paul's saying here, he couldn't even speak to them about real spiritual things because they were just little babies still getting strong bones but no muscle to go with it. They were acting like unbelievers. We have to think in our lives, how are we acting like unbelievers? How are we acting like unbelievers? A stagnant Christian is not a mature Christian. They could be a church going, baptized, church going, church member, regular attending, this, that, and the other thing, and yet still be an immature Christian. Because they're hearing all kinds of things, but are they really listening? Are they really allowing God's Word to permeate their lives? These are the Christians that are satisfied with the way it's always been. They're satisfied with that. Doesn't matter if they're loving people, loving Jesus or not. We're satisfied with just how it's always been. That's a scary place to be. That's stagnant Christianity. That's not maturity. Hebrews chapter 6. Verses 1 through 12. "Therefore, leaving the elementary message about the Messiah, let us go on to maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works, teaching about ritual washings, laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. And we will do all this if God permits. For it is possible to renew... It is, excuse me, impossible to renew to repentance those who were once enlightened, who tasted the heavenly gift, became companions with the Holy Spirit, tasted God's good word and the powers of the coming age, and who have fallen away because, to their own harm, they are re-crucifying the Son of God and holding Him up to contempt." Now, part of what the writer's saying here is that there are some who became Christians, but chose to only grow to a certain point, becoming content with the elemental or elementary things of God, the rituals of church, the way things have always been kind of idea. And they want to stick to their infancy in Jesus Christ because it felt so good then. I just want to recapture that and recapture that and recapture that. But the writer states, let us grow to maturity. Now again, I'm not preaching at anybody because you know what? I look at things in my life and there are some things in my life that honestly I say, I kind of enjoy the way it's always been. And then I have to say, but Kurt, is that heading you to maturity in Christ? And sadly, I have points in my life that I say, no. It's not heading me to maturity. It's things I enjoyed when I was a baby in Jesus. And I need to move on. So Paul then talks about the foundation that we have in Christ. He stresses the need for a spiritual structure to be built on the godly foundation that was set and laid. That foundation is, of course, Jesus Christ. That is the elemental part of our spiritual faith. Without it, you can't have the secondary parts. You can only... You have to start with that elemental part, that foundation. But you have to grow on it and build on it. And so we read 1 Corinthians chapter 3 then, verses 10 to 15. According to God's grace that was given to me, I have laid a foundation as a skilled master builder, and another builds on it. But each one must be careful how he builds on it, for no one can lay any other foundation than what has been laid down. That foundation is Jesus Christ. If anyone builds on that foundation with gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, each one's work will become obvious, for the day will disclose it, because it will be revealed by fire. The fire will test the quality of each one's work. If anyone's work that he has built survives, he'll receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned up, it will be lost, but he will be saved, yet it will be like an escape through fire. Y'all had a Sunday school lesson today about Uzziah. I had the privilege of sitting in on one of the classes this morning, and I really enjoyed it. I had to leave a little before it ended, but I enjoyed hearing it. And I learned something. I gained a lot of food for thought myself. And so you have King Uzziah that we read about in Isaiah. Uzziah in Isaiah. There you go. Good way to remember it. And as Bill brought up, he ruled for 52 years, and for 52 years was a good king. And then at the end, you find out what he was building his kingdom on. He built it on his own lust for power. Now, it probably didn't start that way. Probably didn't start that way, and he saw that doing things God's way worked. So he kept to that elemental way of doing things and had 52 years laid on the foundation of what God had given of just elemental things. But then in the last years of his reign, you find out what had built up in his life. A life of pride. And God had to judge him and struck him with leprosy, which he suffered with to his death. That's similar to what Paul's saying here, that escape through fire. What are we building our lives on? Are we building our lives on the things of God? On knowing Him, maturing in Him, getting to know His Word, understanding the knowledge and the precepts of who God is? Are we spending our time and our lives with that as the preeminent importance of our life? Or are we just sticking to the elemental things? Well, I'll go to church, I'll do some Sunday school, and you know, a little Bible study here and there, and I'm good. God's going to test us. He's going to touch each one of us. And Jesus even had something to say about that in Luke chapter 8, verses 17 to 18, where he said, "For nothing is concealed that won't be revealed, and nothing hidden that won't be made known and come to light." Listen to this. Please listen. "Therefore," Jesus said, "take care how you listen. For whoever has, more will be given to him, and whoever does not have, even what he thinks he has will be taken away from him." Jesus is talking spiritually here. He had just given that one little parable that we love. Who would have a light and hide it under a bushel? We love to sing that song. "This little light of mine, I'm a..." Right? And Jesus said, coming off of that, saying, "For nothing is concealed that won't be revealed." You think you're hiding who you are under some kind of a mask. Kurt, you think you're hiding under some kind of a mask. It's going to be revealed. Are you serious, Kurt, on who you are in Jesus? Are you serious about being mature in Christ? Brothers and sisters, are you serious about being mature in Christ? Because the points that you're not, it will be revealed. There's no need for us to hide from each other when we come to church and put on some kind of facade of godliness. There's no need. Not here. Because guess what, Mike? You're just as much a sinner as I am. We're all sinners. My cousin, he went to a pastor's conference with a bunch of pastors. And he's a pastor. And I'll never forget him telling me this. This was years ago. And all the pastors came around, and it was part of his denomination, and his particular regional leader, lead pastor, was sitting there, and he said, "All right, guys, what did you get out of this conference?" And he went around the table. And this guy's saying this thing, and this guy's saying that thing, this guy's saying that thing. And finally gets to Tim. And they said, "Tim, what are you going to do after all that you've heard?" You know what Tim said? "Nothing." Everybody's like, "What?" I mean, they looked at him like he had grown a big green mole on the side of his face just all of a sudden. Seriously. And he said, "Look, there's not one of you guys in here that's any less of a sinner than I am. There's not one of you guys here that's any more godly than I am. We're all in the same boat." He said, "I'm going to do nothing because I'm inadequate to do it. And so I'm going to sit on it and pray on it for 6 to 9 months. And if after that something's still standing there that God wants for me, then I'm going to follow that." Because he understood that he had to have this process of growth. He understood, you know, all these guys are wanting to say, "Well, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that." And I understand. Y'all have been there too. You know what that's all about. People say, I'm going to tear down the walls of hell. And then they flitter out. Do you know what I'm talking about? I hope you can. But the thing is, it's not one of us is greater than the other. Not one of us is. But we are all great because of Jesus Christ. And as we grow into maturity compared to the fullness of Christ, and we become more and more full in Christ, we aren't having to be godly, but He is godly through us. And we become strong in our bones and in our muscles from the milk of God's Word and from the meat of God's Word because of Him through us and us allowing Him to be godly through us. So Jesus says, listen. Listen. To hear is to, you know, you're hearing my voice. But to listen is to understand what I'm saying and then acting upon it. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 14 to 19. He, the Holy Spirit in this case, is the down payment of our inheritance for the redemption of the possession to the praise of His glory. This is why, since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I never stop giving thanks for you as I remember you in my prayers. I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, would give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. You could mark that. Give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. So if you were in Ephesians 4, we're in Ephesians chapter 1. You want to jump real quick to verse 17 and just underline. Give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. In verse 18, I pray that the perception of your mind may be enlightened. I challenge you to underline that in verse 18. The perception of your mind may be enlightened. So that you may know what is the hope of His calling, what are the glorious riches of His inheritance among the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of His power to us who believe according to the working of His vast strength. Okay. There's a lot there. We don't have time to study every part of it. But I want to just point out a couple things. What Paul is saying, he's watching the church of Ephesus. Remember, this is at its beginning. God's judgment to Ephesus in Revelation was towards its gaining maturity. So right now they're on fire for the Lord, doing things that will help them grow. And what Paul is saying is, hey, listen, we have the Holy Spirit. We're not doing this alone. And I say that to all of us. We're not trying to grow into maturity alone. We have the Holy Spirit. And then Paul is saying that he's praying for them to become mature so that they can have knowledge of God's glory. So that they can have a spirit of wisdom, as we see in verse 17, and revelation in the knowledge of God and His glory. So that we can have the perception of our mind. We can perceive in our mind and be enlightened to God and His glory. And I'm telling you, if you look at Paul's life, he understood God's glory. So much so that it actually caused him to be willing to live for Jesus, to live for his Savior, even to death. He wasn't greater than anybody sitting in this room. Other than he wasn't willing to stay a baby. And he's saying to us, don't be willing to stay a baby. We should be praying for ourselves to gain this spirit of wisdom and revelation in God's in the glory, in the knowledge of God's glory, to actually be able to perceive and be enlightened in God's of God's glory. If we have that, I'm telling you right now, that's going to be on our mind and not all the worries and troubles of this world. That's going to be our goal. That's going to be our mindset. And so if I can take you then to Hebrews chapter 5, verses 9 to 14. After He, that is Jesus, was perfected, He became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey Him. And He was declared by God a high priest in the order of Melchizedek. We have a great deal to say about this, and it's difficult to explain since you have become too lazy to understand. Although by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the basic principles of God's revelation again. You need milk, not solid food. Now everyone who lives on milk is inexperienced and with the message about righteousness because he's an infant. But solid food is for the mature, for those whose senses have been trained to distinguish between good and evil. What I want to point out here is, and I started with this idea, or with what the writer was talking about, with Jesus being high priest in order of Melchizedek. I'm not going into all of that, but he's telling the writer is telling us these things and then saying, I'd sit here and try to explain these things to you, but you become lazy. Kurt, you've become lazy in your life. Brothers and sisters, we become lazy in our life, in our growth towards Christ. And so we have to be retaught the elemental things. Now, the milk of the Word is something that gains us the strength, gives us the bone structure to put muscle on. So there's no discounting the milk of the Word. That's a continual thing. Even Paul himself said, I work out my salvation every day. That's the elemental things, the foundational things of his faith and of our faith. But then I'm building up my bones, I'm making sure my bones are strong, and then I'm putting muscle on them. And that's what Hebrews is saying here. Why? Because those who are mature have our senses trained to distinguish between good and evil. This world wants to say that the things that are actually evil according to God are good. And what hurts my heart is that there are pastors and churches and church organizations that are kowtowing in some name of tolerance. They're kowtowing and calling evil good, saying it's okay, even trying to justify it with God's Word. I'm going to say it. They're immature little babies. They're immature little babies. I'm not saying I'm much more mature, but good gracious, I'm going to do my best to try to have sense so I can distinguish between good and evil in my life. Now, folks, I'll be the first one to say, I don't consider myself Mr. Mature here. Just get to know me a little bit. You'll find out I'm pretty immature sometimes. But man, I want to be mature in Christ. I don't want to be a little infant baby. I want to grow. So we look at 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 4. His divine power, Jesus' divine power, has given us everything required for life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. By these, He has given us very great and precious promises, so that through them you may share in the divine nature, escaping the corruption that is in the world because of evil desires. That's what I want to be. Oh, I get drawn away by evil desires just like everybody else. Mike and I just agreed. We're as sinful as the other guy, right? Okay, thank you, brother. Making me feel better here. We're just as sinful. But I want to be the guy that's escaping the corruption. I know Mike wants to be the guy that's escaping the corruption that's in this world because of evil desires. And how do we do that? By maturing. By maturing. By not kowtowing to the world to say that what they say is good is good. Just because a movie is PG doesn't mean it's a movie I should watch. Right? And just because the world puts some stamp on it doesn't mean that's a stamp for me. The bottom line is actually simple. Milk is the spiritual growth formula based on trust. I trust God, therefore I trust my hearing and studying of His Word and way to be true. I trust in God, therefore I trust in the hearing and studying of His Word, I trust it to be true. But meat is spiritual understanding. It's a formula based on spiritual understanding. I persistently trust God. That's the milk of the Word. I persistently trust God. Therefore, I understand His Word and way to be truth. Do you hear the difference? I trust and I know it because I have this foundation of Jesus Christ in my life. And that's the milk of the Word. And I'm going to listen to and take in the elemental things of God's Word. But then, when I mature, I'm going to understand. Now, if you understand something,
and you don't act upon it, do you really understand it? I can know that 2 plus 2 equals 4, right? But I need to understand it. To understand that 2 plus 2 equals 4, that's where my teacher brings in a couple apples. Right here. And then two more apples over here. And now I'm touching it, I'm feeling it. And I put them together. I've got 4 apples. I understand this. Not only that, I can eat them. And it tastes good. Milk grows us enough so we can eat meat. The milk of God's Word grows us enough so we can eat the solid food of His Word. Meat is the discernment of what is good and evil in spite of culture, wishy-washy teachings, and compromisers who claim spiritual maturity. William Law once said, "If you stop and ask yourself why you are not so devoted as the early Christians, your own heart will tell you that it is neither through ignorance nor inability, but purely because you never thoroughly intended it." Why am I not more spiritually mature? If I'm honest with myself, it's because I haven't thoroughly intended it. I want that to change. The challenge for us this week is to be honest. To be honest with ourselves. I'm not asking you to stand up and confess your facade to everybody here. I'm not. But let's be honest with ourselves before God. We all love to justify our positions. And we'll probably continue even after this Sunday justifying things, but let's at least come to a point of saying, I'm going to be more honest with my own self before God. I'm not going to try to hide and say I'm something I'm not to my own self. And then, with our honesty, can we also maybe even ask God, God, grow me, mature me, and God, I'm going to intend to grow. Let's pray. Holy God, You've been kicking me where it counts through this sermon series. And I need more intention. I need to be intentional about my spiritual growth, personally. And I believe that You've brought this to my mind because You want it brought to the church body's mind. That we need to be intentional about our spiritual growth. That we need to be willing to stop fooling ourselves, to be honest to ourselves of where we truly stand before You. I pray that we can take that challenge, that we'll continue praying like David prayed. He was honest to God. He knew himself and he understood how he measured to Your fullness. May we look at Your fullness and see how much we need to grow and how much more we need to mature and be honest about it. I give You the glory for it, because that is the only place it can be. Humble us, make us hungry, make us strive and want spiritual meat. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, let's let God do something beautiful in our lives. Have a wonderful day, a great week. Let's be honest to our own selves. Let's come back. Bring someone with you next week. God bless y'all.